I'm Marco Werman, and you're tuned to The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. President Obama has said no more American boots on the ground in Iraq, but now we hear that the U.S. has sent 130 additional troops to Erbil in the north of Iraq as military assessors, and that their assessment could lead to some kind of U.S. rescue operation. People in Erbil are not accustomed to hosting the American military. That's partly because a U.S. no-fly zone during Saddam Hussein's time allowed the Kurds to fend for themselves. But the advance of Islamic State fighters has drawn the Kurds into the larger conflict over the future of Iraq. Last week, ISIS fighters got dangerously close to Erbil, but they were stopped by Kurdish forces, the Peshmerga, with support from American drones and fighter jets. Binyat Fuad is a 17-year-old high school student in Erbil. He says having ISIS nearby has changed life for him and his friends.
When ISIS entered Iraq and went through Mosul, we were like, we never expected them to come that close to our city, Erbil. It made a lot of people panic and feel not safe anymore.
Have some people who are residents of Erbil left?
The night ISIS came really near to Erbil, the gas stations were very crowded, people were panicking. But as soon as things got calmer, there have been no other incident of people leaving the town other than the night.
So today, describe the mood in Erbil.
It was perfectly normal now that the towns near to Erbil have been recaptured again by Peshmerga forces. With the help of the airstrikes, people are not panicked in any way or whatsoever.
And Binyat, when you say normal, I mean, let's give our listeners a sense of what normal is in Erbil, because there's construction going on. It's kind of a city that a lot of Americans might actually recognize as potentially an American city. Is that kind of Erbil for you?
To some extent, yes, it is. And the past few years, it has been growing in a very fast rate. But as soon as ISIS have entered Iraq, it's not been as it was before, and after they've come near Erbil, there have been more caution alerts to the business people. But I mean, still, it's not to an effect that it would make any businesses leave.
When you say normal, also, what does that mean in terms of how you're discussing the situation with your friends?
We go out normally, we go to cafes normally, and we do talk about the situations. And in the past, this crisis of Iraq hasn't affected us as much as it does right now. And I mean, in the past months, the Iraqi government decided that they won't deliver the budget of Kurdistan, and a lot of government people, personnel, didn't receive their salaries, and the crisis affected us too. It's hard for us to cope with problems that are not rooted in our region. We try as much as we can to escape those problems that have been created by Iraq.
I mean, Kurdistan has a very capable fighting force, the Peshmerga. Is the concern about the future high enough among your friends, among young people in Erbil, that some are thinking about actually joining the Peshmerga?
A lot of people have been saying that I would never let such thing happen to my hometown. I would immediately go fight them, either in the front lines or if they approach my city, and I'll fight them from my home.
And would you sign up, Binyat, if the situation got that bad?
I would try to help them as much as I can in my own way, more probably, as I wouldn't be very effective in joining the firefight. Maybe I would be more effective in propaganda or something else. But I will definitely help them in any way I can.
So you are committed to Kurdistan?
Yes. The people have been struggling for a long time, and like for 15 years we've been peaceful without any warfare experience. We really want to keep it that way, and the people are very committed to fight for their normal life in here to continue this way.
17-year-old Binyat Fuad speaking with me from his home in Erbil in Iraqi Kurdistan. Thank you very much.
Pleasure to talking with you.
For a bigger picture now, I'm joined by Ayub Nouri. Ayub used to work for The World in Baghdad and is now editor of the Kurdish news service Rudal, based in Toronto. So a lot of concern in Erbil. We just heard a young man weighing whether and when to sign up for the Peshmerga. When we spoke with you in June, Ayub, after Mosul fell to the Islamic State, you sounded pretty confident about the future for the Kurds of Iraq. How's it looking now?
I can tell you that today I'm still confident and optimistic, and I was a few days ago, but just before Obama's speech and the American airstrikes, I was a bit anxious because ISIS or the Islamic militants were advancing really fast towards the Kurdish territories. But I never lost hope, and I am still confident.
And the 130 special forces dispatched, how does that make you feel?
I feel happy for a number of reasons. First, the tens of thousands of Yazidis stranded on the mountain are being saved, rescued, and then American special forces going to the Kurdistan region, and with the American airstrikes, that means, first of all, the world is helping the Kurdistan region, the only good part of Iraq that's not on fire, and also it means they are taking the ISIS threat quite seriously, which they refused to for a number of years.
I mean, and some people could say that the appearance of U.S. forces shows that the Peshmerga need help. I mean, observers were shocked last week when the Peshmerga were driven back by the forces of the Islamic State in several parts of northern Iraq. How did you react, Ayub? Were you shocked by that?
No, to be honest, I wasn't. I was only sad that for the past 2 months, I was hoping that we wouldn't be dragged into a war. But I knew that the Peshmerga haven't had any serious fight for almost two decades, and we do not have the experience of open air warfare. We are mountain fighters. Besides, the Peshmerga are using outdated old from the 80s and 90s weapons against the advanced weapons of the Islamic State. So I think they still did a better job. They lost some territory, but they maintained Kirkuk and some other important territory.
So the response among Kurds to U.S. military assistance has been pretty good?
Yes, it was welcomed. And we have we even published an article yesterday about Kurdish people in the U.S., thanking President Obama for getting involved, and France is sending arms in a few hours, they said. We are really grateful because the American airstrikes boosted the morale of the Kurdish fighters and the Kurdish people at the same time.
And yet the Islamic State is 30 miles or so from Erbil. What are you hearing from your network of journalists in the Kurdish region? I mean, how concerned are people there just about the presence of the Islamic State so nearby?
It's always nerve-wracking. We always knew that the Islamic militants will one day come after us when they took over Iraq's Sunni areas in June. We knew they would come because, and we started to know it because they released a map of their Islamic State, and it includes Iraq, Syria, all the way up to southern Spain and the Kurdistan region. So we knew that when they put an area or territory on their map, it means they have their eyes on that place. And our reporters on the ground, we broadcasted a video a few days ago. One of our reporters is trying to talk to some ISIS fighters on a bridge. There is a bridge that's controlled on both sides by the ISIS and the Peshmerga, and he takes the risk by walking more than half the bridge towards the ISIS, and he tells them, would you like to talk to Rudau? And they refuse to talk to him. So it's a very strange situation. In some areas, the Kurdish fighters are fighting ISIS, the Americans are bombing them, and in some other areas, they are joking with each other.
That sounds really weird, I've got to say. What does all that suggest to you?
I think it suggests to me that the ISIS is attacking where it is strong, and it's quiet where it's weak. When ISIS is confident, they have no fear of anyone, and they will attack anyone, any country, any group. That's why the world community has to take it seriously. And if it's weak, of course, it plays nice.
Just after it seemed ISIS took over Mosul, there was renewed chatter about independence from Iraq for the Kurds. That now seems to have died down, or at least is on the back burner. What do the Kurds need to make a new political deal with Baghdad at this point?
That's a very good question. The U.S. strikes saved Iraq's 6 million Kurds from a terrible nightmare, and that was the advance of the ISIS. But I hope that those very bombs do not kill our dream for independence. Because, as you said, 2 months ago, we were really seriously talking about separating from Iraq for ever. And now we hope that the world doesn't say, okay, we saved you, go back to Iraq, form a government. I hope they don't say that, because the only solution, I think, is independence for Kurdistan. If we had independence, let's say, 2 months ago or last year, we wouldn't be dragged into this Iraq war. But the Kurds have two strategies. One is to work slowly towards independence, and one is to work with Baghdad, try to make it work as much as possible. And whichever one works out, we will stick to that one.
Ayub Nouri, editor of the Kurdish news service Rudaw in Toronto, thank you very much.
Thank you.